So, Rich, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. By including HDPhotoHub.com, you just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
Wow, that seems pretty easy. What do I do to get started?
It is easy, and all you have to do is register today at hdphotohub.com. And if you're using the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
Yeah, free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Shooting Spaces. And I'm Brian. I'm here with my buddy Rich. How are you, Rich?
Great, Brian. Really good out here in beautiful, sunny California.
I feel like I haven't spoken to you in a while. You know, I know we release every week, but we only record, I guess, every couple of weeks. And I feel like it's been a couple of weeks since we chatted. So you're keeping busy. I see you posting these huge mansions. You're going for the gold now.
Well, I had one for sure. And it was, I'm saying it was the toughest house I've ever shot. Just the conditions, everything. It was just off the charts, pulling every trick I could out of my, out of wherever those tricks are. So it was... okay results, and I took me forever to edit, but it was a learning experience. So
okay, nice, part of the grind.
Yeah
Let's get right to it, because we have a ton to go over today with an absolute incredible guest. We have someone some people might call a legend in the industry. But I want to introduce everyone to Tony Colangelo, who I'm sure everyone knows from either Facebook, a PFRE, or just from your reputation itself. But Tony, thanks for coming on with us. It's been a while. We've been talking about getting you on for a long time. So it's our pleasure to bring you on today.
Well, believe me, the pleasure is mine, and hopefully I can get a copy of this recording, because I don't think my wife has ever heard me referred to as a legend. Lord knows she doesn't refer to me that way. So it'll be nice to have that as a reference point.
No problem. Well, we do videos and they go on YouTube now. So it's there forever. Tony, before we get into it, for people that might not be familiar with you and your work, why don't you let us know your website URL? So if people want to kind of look along and look at your work while we talk, let them know where they can find your stuff.
Yes, it's www.tc, as in Tony Colangelo, tcphotography.ca, not .com, it's .ca. It's Canadian home base.
So you're based out of Canada. We've had a couple of guests on our show before that have been Canadian too. So I guess yes. That's a ton of good photographers up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, cool. So we know that you're involved with PFRE and, you know, you're all over the Facebook groups and everything else. Before we get into that, I've got to know you personally over the last couple of weeks myself. So I know a little bit of your backstory, but you have a very interesting journey to get to where you are now doing architectural and interior photography. That includes psychology, that includes, you know, being an exec in a branding company. So why don't you give us the brief, 5-minute summary of what brought you to where you are now as a interior photographer or a spaces photographer?
Yeah, well, it's certainly a long and winding road. I'm originally from the center of Canada, from Toronto, and moved out here to BC about 12 years ago. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Canada, it's on the west coast of Canada. And we won't get into the particulars as to what prompted me to move out here. Let's just say love will make a man do crazy things. So I've been out here for 12 years, and I guess like all photographers in our field, like all the guests that you've had on, it's, you know, kind of safe to say that, you know, I've always had a camera in my hand since I was a little kid. And a few years ago, I just It was a very interesting story. My wife is a school teacher, and I had just moved to BC, and we were in a craft store. She was looking for school supplies. I had a couple of photos that I wanted framed, and the gentleman behind me in line took a look at the photo, and he offered to buy it. So I thought that was the universe's way of telling me something. And I thought, okay, so let's give it a shot, try to do this professionally. I did a whole bunch of research. I did about 6 or 7 months of research to make sure that I could give it a go. And it has worked out. I tried the wedding thing. I know, Rich, you're a noted wedding photographer. I think you'll be amused with my story. I tell people that I did 2 weddings on one day, first and last. So that's the background in terms of photography. Professionally, my background, my initial career is as a psychologist. My original training, education, my first career was as a psychologist. Did that for a number of years, saw thousands of people in a counseling context. From there, I moved over to the business side of a counseling organization. I did that for about 15 years. The last 8 of which was as a senior vice president. When I left that company, I moved into doing coaching, consulting, training, and I extended that as another career, consulting with senior leaders in the BC government, effective people leadership, strategy, and so on. So the photography is a very passionate piece of my life, but as much as I would like it to be my whole life, it is a piece of my life. I have the good fortune of working in other areas as well.
All right, cool. And I know the psychology part of your background plays a big factor into some things we'll get into in a little bit. Yeah. But when you started in photography, you first, like most of us do, started in real estate, correct?
That's correct. After my wedding experience, I called a friend of mine, actually a real estate agent who got me into a couple of houses here when I moved over to BC. And it was very funny because her name is Cassie. And I said, Cassie, I think I have an interest in shooting real estate. Can I take you out for a coffee and we can talk about it? I'll never forget it. This was a Monday afternoon. And she said, what are you doing Thursday? And I said, nothing. I said, okay, well, I have a house for you to shoot. Why don't you meet me at Wednesday? We'll do the walkthrough. Well, I met her on Wednesday, and my very first house was a $3.4 million listing, 7,300 square feet. So I got home in a panic that night. I had no idea what I was doing. I was on the internet. I found PFRE.net. At that point, my goodness, I didn't even know how to spell Photoshop, let alone do it. So I got lucky. She liked what I did, brought me back for more work, referred me to other folks in her agency, and it kind of took off from there. Luckily, I had a mentor who also did interiors photography, and he was quite proficient in Photoshop. So he did my editing until I came up to speed.
Yeah, I'm looking at your work on your website, and it is very, very nice. It's very clean. It has a beautiful look. And, you know, obviously, you know, your big thing is composition, as we'll get into in a little bit. But you have just a huge variety of residential, commercial, and ton of stuff. That's just, your lighting is very clean. Everything is just very clean about what you do. And I know Rich and I say that a lot about people, how everything just looks so.
This is beyond that. This is so great, Tony.
Thank you, Rich. And Rich, I have to say, it's nice to to see you in person after all these years. We've been we've had an indirect relationship for 6 or 7 years, commenting back and forth. So it's a pleasure to be here and to see you.
Yeah. And if people out there aren't familiar, as always, we just mentioned PFRE, Photography for Real Estate, is it's not only a blog and a website, but it's a Facebook. It's a Flickr group. And it is the place where you really go and you can go through And you can just lurk and see the work of people. And the great thing is you have to add your lighting and your photography details so you can really see what people are doing. And you can then do searches and go back through time and learn so much. So it is totally the premier place to go to really learn what you're doing. It's far better than Facebook groups, in my opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion as well. It's a tremendous site, and so many terrific shooters cut their teeth there. In the monthly contest, especially, is where I just soaked it all up and tried to implement it over the next month until the next contest.
Yeah, that's the I don't join the contest or whatever you call it. I don't do it a lot, but I should do it more. And it's really something that's great to see.
Yeah.
The contest.
And I saw you started recently writing some articles for PFRE also.
Well, you know, I did that every now and then when Larry Lorman headed up PFRE, and I've always enjoyed writing. Given my background as a senior leader, we had to be well versed in writing marketing related things, and I've always enjoyed that creative element. I enjoy writing, and Brandon is a very, very good friend of mine, Brandon Cooper, who's the head of PFRE.
We had him on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he's doing a remarkable job continuing on Larry's tremendous, tremendous legacy, and I'm very excited to see where Brandon is going to go with it, and anything that I can do to help, I will do.
Cool stuff. So besides for everything you do on your own shooting, I know you do a ton of coaching, and I see a lot of, through PFRE, people are always commenting on how much you've helped them coach. So just tell us a little bit about that, and if anybody's interested in hearing about your coaching and what your approach to coaching is, because I know you have some specific ways about your coaching. I know this personally because I've coached with you before. So tell us a little bit about the coaching and how you approach it for people that might be interested.
Well, it's something that I've been doing for about 5 years now. And I have to say, I don't want to sound corny or trite or schmaltzy. As much as I love photography and I really, really love it, I love the coaching more. The whole idea of helping people to get better at something, to get better at their craft is very compelling for me on a personal level, and I find it very rewarding. My actual coaching practice really revolves around three, what do you want to call them, umbrellas, pillars, whatever you want to call them. The first one is photography improvement, where we take a look at composition. We do two or three sessions to focus on composition, lighting, and core editing for real estate. And some of my clients are significantly more advanced. They're shooting for architects. They're shooting for interior designers, high-end builders. So we examine it sort of like next level, next step up editing. So that's sort of one pillar. Those topics are under one umbrella. Another umbrella is to do a very, very exhaustive review of a person's website. Brian, as you know, I'm really, really big in examining the psychology of things, and there is a tremendous psychology, a tremendous science to website design, gallery design, and even the sequence in which photos are placed. The right sequence will have a much more dramatic impact on the viewer than a poorly designed sequence. So we talk about the psychology of website design, and we go through a photo by photo critique of people's work.
You're right. It is exhaustive because as I told you personally, you humbled me when shots that I thought looked good and were on my portfolio, and you told me why they are, I don't want to say not good, but why they are not the way they should be. And I was like, oh boy, I've got a lot to learn. So,
well, thank you. But see, that's all part of it. I think part of being a good coach is being direct and clear without doing the sort of rah-rah thing, right? I want to be honest with people. I guess as with my background as a psychologist, I will always try to find a way to say things as respectfully, as tactfully as I can, but I certainly don't pull punches. My clients deserve what I, you know, my honest opinion, and that's what I give. So the third pillar, which is probably the most involved one, is branding. You know, to get a sense of what makes an individual unique, what they bring from a personality, from a characteristics viewpoint that allows them to distinguish themselves in a very crowded, very competitive marketplace. So we get people to, there's a lot of homework in the branding piece. Each session involves homework. So we examine, we try to find out people's best traits, their preferences for shooting. We do a competitive analysis of their marketplace. We have folks go out and take their representatives of their target audience out for a coffee or a lunch to find out more about that field. The bottom line, what we're trying to do in branding is we want to answer the questions: who am I, what do I do, what makes me different, and why should the marketplace care? So it's a very in-depth process. Again, an awful lot of psychology involved. And if I do say so, the folks that have gone through the soup to nuts branding piece of the coaching have done very, very well. I'm sure, Brian, Rich, you're familiar with some folks. Mike Lefebvre, PFRE's Photographer of the Year last year, went through the branding process. It's a very involved process. It requires a lot of commitment of time and effort, but in the long run, it is quite worth it, because what you come up with is a distinct, succinct value proposition statement. This is what I do, this is who I do it for, these are the pain points that my photography helps to address, and this is how I can help you address those things.
I got a question for you. Do you also, you obviously work on website, yeah. Are you a writer? Do you help with copy?
Yes, I do actually. Once we have someone's brand kind of locked in, once we have Rich, their value proposition statement clearly identified, and a person has a good sense of what makes them unique, what might make them interesting to their target clients, that's when we do the writing. I think a lot of people do it backwards. They write their about me section first, and then they try to figure out who they are. And it's really the other way around. It's my strong belief that the photographer, that person, is the brand, not their logo, not their website, not their glossy materials. And oddly enough, for a photographer, not even their photographs. All of these things are spokes in the wheel called brand, but at the end of the day, the wheel is the photographer. It's who they are as a person, because that's what makes them unique. And I know that sounds kind of all warm and fuzzy and artsy-fartsy. I'm not trying to be. It's a very rigorous business process that I take from me, from my senior exec days, where we went through very in-depth branding process in my company a couple of times. The second time using the top branding company in the country, and I have shamelessly taken their material, and that's what I walk my coaching clients through, those who want to do the branding.
And one last question I have, for now, please tell our audience out there, because we have a a mix from very beginning. I mean, people probably thinking about getting into it, learning about cameras and learning about equipment, and then, intermediates, and then very advanced people. And yeah. As Brian said, I'd consider Brian pretty advanced, but he can use this. Is this something that everybody can use? And what do you recommend for the newbie? Is this even better for a newbie?
In many ways, it is. I'm very mindful, and actually, Rich, that's a great question. I'm very mindful that for an absolute beginner, there are perhaps more economical ways of cutting their teeth. I think the entire community, I'm sure, is very familiar with the book and the video series that Scott Hargis did on lighting. Okay. So that would be a good starting point because Scott covers so much. But if people are still confounded by things, if they're struggling to put two and two together, then working with a coach. And by the way, I as grateful as I am for you guys mentioning my coaching process, I want to say to your listeners, whether it's me or someone else, there is great value in getting a coach, someone who can shed some objectivity, can ask some compelling questions, can get you to answer some difficult questions rather than always giving the answers, right? And really asking some good questions that make people think. So whether it's myself or some other coach, it's a very valuable process. To answer your question, yeah, a good coach ought to be able to work with anyone, whether it's a newbie or an advanced person. Yeah, coaching is a very interesting process.
Cool. Before we shift gears to what you have coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is pretty exciting, yeah. Which we'll talk about. Let's shift gears for a little bit, because when we have guest photographers on, we always like to get nerdy for a little bit and talk about some type of the gear you're using. Are you a Nikon, Canon, Sony guy? What kind of lighting you're using?
Phase one.
Oh my goodness.
How do you go about your shoots?
I use a Canon 6D, like everybody these days, or seemingly everybody. I'm a big fan of the Godox or the Flashpoint lighting systems, as well as their triggers. So I use the basic trigger in the hot shoe of my camera, and the more advanced trigger, the second version that I hold with me in my hand, so that I can change power levels from anywhere in the house without having to walk back to the camera.
That's interesting. And you shoot tethered, right?
I go with Cam Ranger. Thank goodness for Cam Ranger. And I have a 10-inch tablet with me. I know that the 6D is not in vogue anymore. I think dollar for dollar, though, I still think it's one of the best cameras out there. It's got tremendous low light sensitivity. So I use that. My backup camera is actually another 6D. I'm such a big fan. For me, it's more important to put money into the glass. So I have an assortment of lenses that I use, including tilt shift, wide angle zooms, and some of the larger ones. The 24 to 105 actually is one of my workhorse lens.
Sorry, Rich. I was going to say, I just actually got that lens last week. I was using the 24 to 70 for a while, but
yeah.
I switched my whole camera system. I went mirrorless last week, as I told you, and the new Canon RF 24 to 105 is incredible. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know why I didn't get it sooner, just to have that, to have that focal, focal length options just on your camera at all the times is just mind blowing.
Well, you know, as you guys know, you guys have worked with designers and such. Sometimes it's a very compelling way of capturing the scene to zoom in, you know, to 60, 70, 80 millimeters. There's such a tremendous amount of perspective compression in the shot that I find quite appealing. And luckily for me, so do my clients.
And Rich, before I interrupted you, you were about to say.
Oh, yeah. I kind of, I guess going off topic, but that's me. I'm always ADD on this stuff. Tony, you're, and I want to impress upon everybody, as I usually say, check out our guest's website. But I will say something, and I will say that your images are so absolutely clean. The website makes them look great. So that's another bonus, but they look very, very not lit and heavy on the, not heavy in any way bad, but heavy on the shadows, not afraid to show shadows and natural light and light direction. But tell us that you are using a fair amount or a lot of lighting to get that look. So where are you with that?
Actually, Rich, you might be surprised to hear that is the actual opposite. More and more into my career, I am finding aesthetically, in terms of my own eye and pleasing my own artistic and creative sensibilities, I've always been big on natural light, and it just seems that the older that I get, the more that I'm in this field, I'm relying more and more and more on my ambient exposures. I do a bunch of blending, hand blending, but I find that I rely a lot. On my ambient layers and natural light. As a matter of fact, that is really how I try to define the aesthetic component of my brand. I call it my visual brand. Really, the look that I'm after is high contrast, a lot of brightness, a lot of sharpness, and then I say all bathed in soft natural light. That's sort of like sharp edges bathed in natural light. That's the look that my eye likes. That's the look that I try to extend to my clients, and those clients who also like that look tend to be my longest serving clients, my longest standing clients.
Sure, but I think there's a whole science to that also, to learn how, you know, it's shooting ambient or natural light, and I do my fair share of it as well. It's not just, you know, get your composition and shoot a bracket and then go into post and hand blend it.
Yeah.
There's a whole science to learning how to shape the natural light that's in there to, whether it's by flagging or using scrims or whatever, to get, you know, the natural light that's in there to look the way you want to look. So,
you know, it's a great point, Brian. And actually that's been my experience, but actually both for myself and for my coaching clients, that one of the gates that people go through in their professional development as a photographer, I think one of the first gates is how do I add light to improve the shot? But I think subsequent to that, once you get a handle on that, I don't think we ever master these things. But once we start getting a handle on that, then I think the next level becomes how do I take light away? And I think in my coaching process, when I'm working with someone a little bit more advanced, that's how they get to next level. We talk about their images, and yes, they're really nicely lit, but what if you were to put a scrim on this side of the shot? What do you think would have happened? So we have a very interesting conversation. We talk about scrims. We talk about taking light away and how that would work at a shoot. The mechanics of it. And I think that's one of the ways that you get to a next level.
But that's not going to be, I mean,
for real estate.
No. Exactly. Yeah. I think we need to put that out there, that a lot of what we're talking about here is really not appropriate or practical for real estate photography because we've got time constraints and such. But when you get into design photography, it's great to have the time and the luxury to make that happen.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rich, it's an excellent point. And I know that a lot of your viewers to the podcast are real estate photographers. And I'm sure a lot of them maybe were rolling their eyes at the thought of putting up scrims because they have to get in and out and get to the next shoot. I'm not suggesting that you need to do that all the time. What I'm suggesting for real estate photographers is that rather than immediately jumping into a formula of I walk into a room, I place my tripod in this corner and then that corner, and I continue shooting corner to corner and then I'm in and out, what I'm suggesting is that there is great value in taking literally, and I'm very sincere when I say this, Rich, it's a few seconds. I think there's a misconception about, interior shooters who shoot for interior designers and architects, they have all the time in the world. And compared to a real estate shooter, I'm sure it must seem that way. But in reality, in terms of looking for a composition, it doesn't take as long as people think. That's why I urge folks in the Facebook groups and in the PFRE Flickr group, take a few seconds. Think through the story you're trying to tell. It doesn't take that long. And the return on investment of a few seconds usually gets you a better result. And if you are not shooting formula basic images, because ultimately that's what most of your competitors are giving their clients, well, spending a few extra seconds getting a slight variation on camera angle, tightening up a composition, or perhaps giving some thought as to what selling feature the agent mentioned during the walkthrough, well, I think if we can sort of weave that into our composition and tell a better story, one of the byproducts is over time, we will distinguish ourselves from I have to be in and out, therefore I'm shooting corner to corner and be done with it. And you know something, please forgive me, I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing on those types of photographers, because you know something, if I've got a mortgage to pay and mouths to feed and I've got to do 5 shoots a day to pay the mortgage, then God bless, you know, you're making an honest living. I'm not trying to knock it down. I'm just trying to highlight that in a very competitive marketplace, there are these little things that we can do to distinguish ourselves. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of taking a few extra seconds to take a look and compose and tell your story, it's kind of a perfect segue into what you have coming up in the next couple of weeks. So. Yeah. I don't know, by the time this releases, I guess the word might be out already, but if not, and people haven't heard, why don't you let us know what you have going on in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I will be releasing a video tutorial that focuses exclusively on composition. All right, so it does a very deep dive. One of the things that I have found is that certainly in the years that I've been doing real estate work and then interior and architectural work, is that there has been an exponential increase in the amount of professional development materials, books and videos and YouTube things, and certainly you guys have added to that, Rich. Your YouTube channel has always been a hit, so that there's a lot of material out there, and so much of it is just terrific stuff. But it's been always my personal experience that composition, there's not an awful lot of time devoted to composition, which is as it in relation to things like lighting and editing. There's so much on that. But in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, composition is by far the most important thing, and yet it seems to get less attention. So I'm trying to kind of address that with my video.
Sure. And just Rich, we can't hear you.
One is new gear or lights, not as sexy as that, but it's the key. It's the basis of everything.
Yes. Yes. And I, you know, and we have all taken, especially in our early days, we've all taken the photo where we put the back of somebody's couch dead smack in the middle of the shot. And the back of the couch is taking like 40, 50% of the shot. Well, I got to tell you something. I don't care if you light the back of that couch perfectly. I don't care if you edit the back of that couch perfectly. It is not an effective photo to help your real estate agent client in terms of selling the most compelling piece of that or aspect of that living room. Nobody wants to see the back of somebody else's couch. So composition is key. It is by far the most important thing. It is vital.
Well, I'm going to go a little deeper, or I think your tutorial, for that matter, goes a little deeper. And this is actually what originally attracted me to do some coaching with you. Is me personally, I'm into psychology. I read a lot of psychology books, more on the sales side of things. I read a lot of books on the psychology side of sales and marketing. But a lot of, you know, you have a psychology background, and I think what you do is you bring that background, the science to composition, and you teach why certain compositions sit well with the brain versus why others don't. And it's not just, hey, do this and your shots are going to look great. It's why when you do this, you know, the viewer's brain clicks and says, this is a great shot. So I think having the science behind it allows people to go a little deeper and really take it in and understand it, rather than just say, okay, these are the rules Tony said I should follow, so I'm going to go and follow them.
Yeah. You know, we've heard it in our field forever. Boy, I wish I had a crisp $20 bill for every time we've heard the statement, most people, most real estate agents don't know why they like a photo. They just know that they do, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. What if you as a photographer knew why that real estate agent liked a photo versus not liking another photo? Wouldn't it be easier to apply that understanding in our compositions, in setting up a shot? And wouldn't that lead to greater consistency? That's my opinion. And that's what I'm trying to espouse in the tutorial, is really understanding the psychology behind it, really understanding the trying to get an answer to the question, why? Why is a great image a great image? What's at play? And I think if we as photographers understand that, then we're more likely to use to our advantage those things that are at play to create better photographs that will more easily resonate with our clients, regardless of whether they're real estate agents, designers, or architects.
Sure. And if you don't mind me giving a personal testimonial, I think the biggest thing, you know, from, you know, the coaching that we did together and a little bit of the tutorial that you showed me, I think my biggest takeaway in the few weeks has been that you have to almost change your mindset and take a different approach. You know, when I shoot real estate, and you set it straight up, you go to the corner and you shoot. It's almost changing a mindset when you're on site or on a shoot. And I've noticed in the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks since we spoke, that when I'm on a shoot, I'm thinking through what I'm doing a little bit more. And, you know, I probably have to think a little more now than I will have to in 5 or 6 months from now, as it starts getting a little more natural and ingrained. But I'm actually thinking through my shots, and does this make sense here? And, you know, is this where this is supposed to be? And is there a reason for it? And if not, then why am I doing it?
Yeah.
So I think it's a change of mindset that the biggest takeaway people are going to get from this.
Well, I hope that's one of the takeaways. Yeah. And I say this very early on in the video tutorial, that one of the perhaps the core philosophical pieces, one of the core principles of my approach, is based on a quote from a very, very famous scientist, Max Planck, a very famous physicist from the early 20th century. He said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Now, he was talking, he made that statement in relation to quantum physics, which he won a Nobel Prize for. But Brian, I got to tell you, that statement, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, I got to tell you, that was the absolute bedrock of my time as a psychologist in my counseling practice. If people who came to see me were distressed about something, if I could get that individual or that married couple to see that the way they were seeing the problem was the biggest part of the problem, and if they could change their perspective a little bit, the impact of the problem would either reduce or just completely go away. And I think it's the same thing in our photography, and that's why I was so passionate a couple of minutes ago about take 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Don't jump immediately into the corner. Look around. What story are you trying to tell? In your walkthrough, the real estate agents mention this $8,000 range and this custom millwork. Okay, let me walk around the space. Let me find an angle that best shows it off. How long does it take to walk around the kitchen? 20, 30 seconds? But taking that time, looking at something a different way, causes you to find a different perspective and hopefully a different shot, a better shot.
Very nice. I feel like we can go on for hours about this, and I probably will with you personally. But so talk a little bit about the release of this tutorial, where people can find it, when it's being released. I know you're offering a pre-launch special, so tell us all the information that our listeners want to know or need to know.
Yeah, the tutorial will, a pre-launch will come out hopefully at some point early next week. The actual name of the tutorial is...
And let me just clarify, because next week is the first week of June, and this probably will be released shortly thereafter. So when this releases, we will probably be midst of your pre-launch.
That's right. So I'm targeting the week of June 17th as a window in which to launch, through which to launch. And prior to that, there will be a 15% discount. So the course, which is called The Art and Science of Great Composition, will be selling normally for $99 US, and pre-launch will be $85.
Nice. So yeah, I definitely want to urge people, and this is coming from me personally, not just a co-host of this podcast, suggesting people to go and buy it, but someone who has coached with Tony, and I've also watched a couple of minutes of the tutorial that you were nice enough to send me. Definitely worth going and purchasing. It's going to change the way, like I just said, not only that you think about your compositions, but the way you shoot and the work you produce is going to change drastically.
So. Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you, Brian. And one of the things, if I may, about the tutorial is that it's very intensive, very brief, but it's presented in a very easy to digest, we'll call it. There's a very clear logic trail throughout. It's 2.5 hours long, so it won't take folks a long time to go through. It's relatively easy to apply, and the way that I see it, software editing software, new gear will come and go, but the principles of effective composition are timeless. They will be with you for your career as a real estate shooter, as an interior shooter.
And if you really think about it, so many people are missing out. I know myself, I should spend time on every setup. And I think for real estate, we are under the gun for time. But if we could spend 5 seconds, 10 seconds, just thinking of putting it in our head and setting it up. And as it comes first, it's exactly, what are we shooting here? What are we doing? And how can we make it better? And if you're missing out on composition, you're missing out on a huge part. Again, it's not as sexy as
buying new cameras and new lights, but it is something that, like a good tripod, it will be there forever, hopefully. Okay. And this stuff is just, it's so basic and key that I want everybody out there, especially the newcomers, to really put time and think about composition, because that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rich. Yeah, you're right. You know, we have to deliver 25, 30, 35, sometimes more photos to our clients next day. And, you know, you may not want to spend that extra time in the in the fourth guest bedroom, because it's a basic, you know, 8x10 room. But you know something, in the money, every house, whether it's 1,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet, the money shot rooms are pretty much the same, right? There's kitchen, family room, living room, so on, master bedroom, ensuite, and what have you. Spending the extra time in the money shot rooms, the rooms where the real estate agent is probably going to be focusing on anyway during your walkthrough, if he or she does a walkthrough with you. And even if they don't, as shooters, we should know that. There's a limited number of money shot rooms, and those are the rooms that I believe deserve the extra time. And like I said earlier, it's not as much as you might think, not as much of a time lag as you might think.
All right, cool. So we're running low on time, so we're gonna start wrapping up. But why don't you let everyone know where they can find or purchase the tutorial once, either by pre-launch or once it's released? Yeah.
The actual release will happen on photographyforrealestate.net. There will be a pre-launch announcement. And once it goes, once it is formally launched, there will be sort of like a thumbnail promotional item that once you, on a side of the website where Brandon Cooper, who owns the site, puts some sort of marketing elements. If you click on my thumbnail, it will reside there. If you go to my website, I will have, as part of my navigation menu, a page devoted to the tutorial where you just click on the button and order it that way.
Okay, cool. So there's plenty of different ways for people to find you. Well, as we run low on time here, Tony, I want to thank you for coming on. And I feel like we can talk for hours, the three of us, but you know, our listeners are probably...
Have me back. Have me back.
We know most of our listeners are probably sitting outside their shoots waiting to go in as we talk here. But we have to wrap up due to time constraints. But we want to thank you for coming on. It's always fun talking about some different topics. And we didn't even really get into your technique because there's just so much other stuff to talk about. But you know, I want to obviously personally wish you the best of luck with this tutorial. I think you're going to knock it out of the park. I think it's a topic that... there's so many tutorials out there and it's just not covered enough. So I think you're going to hit a home run here.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you to say that. And a lot of gratitude and appreciation for you and Rich having me on. I'm very pleased to be here. So our heartfelt thank you to you both.
Okay, thank you. And again, tcphotography.ca is your website, and I know you also have a Flickr channel because I've viewed it. So you have your own is it a channel on Flickr or a page?
Photo, they call it a photo stream.
So you have your own Flickr photo stream, which has a ton of your great work also. So if you're not going to check out the work on your website, check it out on Tony's Flickr photo stream.
Thank you.
And with that, Rich, I guess another one
bites the dust. Thank you, Tony.
Really, thank you, sir.
Really great to finally meet you, even virtually, but still, we're one step closer. And who knows? Maybe we'll be meeting in Vegas coming up next year.
I have
Wouldn't
no
that
doubt.
Be fun?
I have no doubt. I think things are looking are solidifying for that. And Brandon will have more information about that coming out shortly, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. So I want to tell everybody, please be sure to subscribe to shootingspacespodcast.com and go check out our blog, our website at shootingspaces.net. And we've got the webinar on there and some fun stuff, some good education, some good articles. And really, really want you to do a check out Ask the Guys. And right, Brian? Got to do Ask the Guys?
Ask the Guys. Yeah, we have a bunch still left to go, but we can always use more questions. You guys give us some incredible topics to talk about, so we welcome them. Send them over. Do you have any questions you want answered by us, Tony? By all means, submit a question. I don't know how much I can teach you, but...
Well, all of us have lots of room to learn, believe me.
Yes, for sure. All right, Rich.
Okay, and with that, I will say, everybody go out, have a great, great week. Shoot a lot of stuff, have fun, and most important, just go shoot some spaces.
This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at HDPhotoHub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES and you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit ShootingSpacesPodcast.com and visit our education site at ShootingSpaces.net.